Well, from our house to your house, we are so glad that you are gathering with us on this Easter Sunday to celebrate the victorious resurrection of Jesus. He is risen, and all God's people said, He is risen indeed. If you will, take a moment if you're watching on one of the social media platforms and let us know where you're watching from. Make a comment in the comment section. We're just so glad. It's an honor. It really is an honor to have you here with us. And we know everyone's in different places. For some of you, you're passionate about following Jesus. You know that Jesus has changed your life and He can change anyone's life anywhere at any time, including now. For others, you're struggling. The reality of a global pandemic and all kinds of other things in your life, and you've started to question some areas of your faith, and you need a faith renewal. For others, you're just simply open. You're tuning in, you're gathering with us, you're exploring, but you're not really sure what you believe, and you certainly haven't taken that next step to start a relationship with God. Well, wherever you're at and whatever's going on in your life, on behalf of the entire Genesis Church leadership team and family, I want to say everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. I recognize these are unusual times and unusual circumstances, and all of us are finding a new normal. My wife and I have two kiddos, one who just turned two on Saturday. For those of you who know our family well, can you believe that Mac is two? And then Maggie, Margaret, is six. And because schools have adjusted and they're no longer meeting on site, well, we've had to start the Kennedy Academy. I am the PE teacher, my wife is the principal. We've only had to expel one kid and break up two fights, but we're figuring out what in the world does it mean in this new normal. We were sitting up at night laughing at stories from the day, but then we slowed down and we started to speak about just the reality that not all the days have been good. It's been some bad days. You ever had a bad day? Have you ever had a day where you wish you could kind of hit the reset button? How do you get through bad days? Well, I know even if you feel like you haven't, the entire world so far in 2020 has had its share of several bad days. Some of us right now, we received news recently that was unwanted and unsettling. For some of us, we've been trying to control things, but we've realized we can't control things. And we've had a series of bad days. And here's what I've come to learn about bad days. What's more important than having a bad day is what you do with a bad day. Now you may wonder, what in the world does this have to do with the Easter story? It's Easter after all. Well, I'm glad you asked, because Easter is really connected to this idea and this concept of a group of people who had some seriously bad days. We could go back to last Sunday. We celebrated Palm Sunday. It's the time that Jesus comes into Jerusalem. All the people are gathered and they have some palm branches and they're expecting that Jesus will be the next Jewish leader that overthrows the Roman Empire and sets up the Jewish people to be in power and prominence once more, to bring a military kingdom. But Jesus is not that type of king. Jesus isn't bringing a military kingdom. He's bringing a spiritual kingdom. He has no interest in overthrowing the Roman Empire. Instead, he's going to overthrow sin and he's going to overthrow death. Jesus is going to do something unique. We get to what is called Good Friday, but it wasn't a Good Friday for the disciples. Here they had pinned all of their hopes on Jesus. They had followed him for 3 years and now he's arrested. He's ridiculed, he's mocked, he's criticized, and ultimately he's crucified a criminal's death. And the writer of Matthew actually recounts the series of bad days and how it kind of comes to a halt in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that he be given it to him. Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in clean linen. He placed it in its own new tomb. He had cut out a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite of the tomb. And here's this story. There are two women, Mary. They have been following Jesus, connected in with Jesus in unique ways. Their hopes are dashed, just like the Jewish people, just like those disciples. You could say they had a bad day. You know, the interesting thing about bad days is they happen so suddenly, don't they? You just kind of wake up and there's a bad day and you didn't expect it. And you wonder, and maybe you've asked this question even recently, how in the world do I ever get through a bad day? Now they go home that Friday night. They are probably devastated. They're tossing, they're turning. You ever had some sleepless nights? Maybe even recently. They wonder, how in the world are we ever going to get through this? And then Saturday comes and it's kind of a repeat. There's a celebration. It's the annual Passover, and they are finding themselves not celebrating at all. They go to bed on Saturday. They're probably thinking the same thing. They're tossing, they're turning, and they wake up. And on Sunday morning, they're heading to the tomb. Friday and Saturday were the worst day ever, but they're about to encounter Sunday, and Sunday is the best day ever. Now in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, you gotta see this. This is so important and so good. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, circle that, highlight that, underline that, memorize that, internalize that. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. They probably woke up that morning and they were going to put spices on the tomb, a sense of respect and honor. Maybe they were heading toward that journey of actually just attempting to show a sense of mourning and grieving. And here they are. And I love this phrase. It says, a new day was dawning. It may have looked like the same day on Saturday. It may have looked like the same day on Sunday. But there was a new day dawning. I don't care who you are and what's going on in your life. I want to say to you today, I want to encourage you today, right where you're at, right there in your living room, our God specializes in bringing about new days. To take what can become the worst news ever and make it the best news ever. Now we keep reading in Matthew chapter 28. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear, and then they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Now why in the world were the guards there? The guards were there to protect the tomb. Jewish leaders had connected with Roman authorities, and they'd said Jesus said he was going to come to life on the third day. This must mean the disciples or others are going to steal the body. We have to protect the body at all costs. They were securing it. And on the dawning of a new day, the two Marys go to the tomb, and this is what they find in verse 5. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't there. He's risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come, see where his body was lying. He's risen from the dead. This is so good. I love it. Jesus didn't move the stone. He didn't need to. The angel didn't come to let Jesus out of the tomb. The angel came to let people into the tomb to see what God had already done. On the outside of that day, everyone, the Jewish leaders, the Roman guards, they're trying to control the story and control the narrative outside, but Jesus is writing a new story on the inside. The miracle wasn't happening outside the tomb. The miracle was happening inside the tomb. They were worried about a robbery taking place, but they didn't realize there was a robbery taking place, all right? Jesus was robbing hell. Jesus was robbing sin of its penalty. Jesus was robbing death of his power, proving he was the victorious and risen King of kings and Lord of lords. And all God's people said, amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Both Marys woke up thinking this is just another bad day. This is just another set of bad days, but a new day was dawning. Frederick Buechner wrote, Resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. I love that about the Easter story. That Jesus changes everything for everyone, and this is why it's Easter for everyone. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to hear this. Sometimes when things feel like they are falling apart, they're really just falling into place. For the disciples, it felt like that things were falling apart. They were following Jesus. And now Jesus is arrested. He's mocked. He's ridiculed. He's crucified, a Roman death, a criminal's death. It looked like everything was falling apart, but it was just falling together. For the two Marys, they were devastated. All hope seemed dashed. All freedom seemed lost. It looked like everything was falling apart, but really it was falling together. I know that's my own story. When I look at my own story, I can trace back so many moments where I felt like things were falling apart. It didn't make sense and I couldn't figure it out. Maybe you do too. And I look back now and I can see, wow, God, you were doing things that I couldn't see in ways that I didn't understand at the time. And here's what I have come to learn. God is never surprised. He is at work on a solution before we ever know that there's a problem. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, I want you to know wherever you're watching at today, this could be the best day of your life. This could be the day where Jesus changes your life. You can make it through any difficult day. You can make it through any pandemic, any struggle, because no one can take away a hope that Jesus can give. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm not talking about a fleeting hope. I'm not talking like, I hope my sports team wins this year. No, we're talking about a rooted confidence, a hope that no one can take away. That his resurrection proves that he has the power to turn the worst days ever into the best days ever. That Jesus' resurrection proves to us that he has the power over life and death. Jesus' resurrection proves to us that when things look like they're falling apart, maybe they're just falling into place. Early on a Sunday morning, a new day was dawning, and a new day brings hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace comes as we trust in him. Now, what does this actually mean? I mean, have you done that? Have you ever trusted in God with your life? Have you ever taken that next step and put your faith in Jesus? What does that mean? Well, here's what it means, and you can do this right here, right now, right where you're at. It means that you're willing to say that I'm a sinner, and Jesus, you are the Savior. It means you're willing to respond to the Spirit of God and openly ask for Jesus to change your life and to lead your life. And when you come to that place, we're told that you overflow with a strange sense of joy and peace and hope, and no one can take it away. It's a dawning of a new day. Now, as we come to the end today, I want to ask you to do something for me. This is really important to me. This is kind of everyone's next step. So if you're watching this, maybe you're one of our staff, maybe you're one of our leaders. I want every single person to do this. It'd really be important to me. And what I want to do is I want to pray for you this next week, and I want to be able to pray for you in a very specific way. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to maybe take out your phone or open up another tab, and I want you to go toward genesisal.com/survey. genesisal.com/survey. And I want you to take a brief survey right now, and I'm going to actually explain that to you. I want every single person to do it. It'd mean the world to me, and I want to be able to pray for you, and this is your next step. There are four boxes on that survey that you'll find. It's a real simple survey, A, B, C, or D. And let me just explain it. If you mark down A, you're saying I have a real relationship with Jesus. It's real. It really is something where I have a relationship with God. Jesus has changed my life, and I'm growing in that relationship. If that's you, mark A. B says that I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe even just a few minutes ago when we were working through that, you go, I want a relationship with God. I want to begin that relationship with God. I'm actually beginning it, maybe even again. Maybe it's been such a long time where truthfully you had a real vibrant relationship with God and you're returning home, if you will, to the Father. But if that's you and you're taking steps today to begin a relationship with God, man, I want to hear from you. I want to pray for you. Please mark down B. C, I'd like to consider it a bit more first. You're just saying I'm not closed to it. I'm open to it. I'm interested, but I wouldn't say I have a relationship with God. I wouldn't say I'm starting a relationship with God. And so if that's you, would you mark down C? And then D says, I don't ever intend to make that decision. And this is a place where we want you to be open and honest. We want you to be vulnerable. It's completely okay to mark D. If that's you, please mark D. Because what I want to do is I want to take a moment and I want to pray for you this week. And I want to encourage you this week. And so right now, I'm actually just going to pray for you. And so right there where you're at, will you just allow me to pray for you? God, I thank you for everyone who's gathering in their homes in different places. They're in different places physically, in different places spiritually. We thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead, that you proved that you are who you said you are, that you conquered death, you're victorious over sin, and that we can trust you not just with tomorrow, but for the rest of our lives. A new day dawns with you. And so, Jesus, we thank you. I pray nothing but your bless and nothing but your blessing over everyone who's gathering. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm so glad. It's been an honor that you would gather with us. And if you'd like more information today, you can go and visit genesisal.com. And that's where you can find more information about our church. You can find more information about how you can connect and events that are coming up. This Thursday night, we're doing Thursday Night Encouragement, my wife and I, on Facebook Live. It's at 8:30. It's 30 minutes. We'd love to have you join us. And then, if you would like to be a part of our generosity team, at the end of the day, we hope this service has been a gift to you. But if you'd like to invest in what God's doing through Genesis Church, I couldn't encourage you more. You'll never regret investing in the kingdom of God expanding. And you can go to genesisal.com/give, and you can give today. And I simply want to thank you in advance. And so from the Kennedy family to your family, I want to thank you so much for gathering with us on Easter Sunday, where it's Easter for everyone.